You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. My name is David James, and I'm your host. Hello, everybody. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel, who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, it's good to be back this week. And I've got a good message for you. I probably always say that, right? I mean, why would I give a message if I didn't feel it was good? The title of this week's message is Fear versus Faith. Now, before I go on with this message, I just wanted to do a quick correction. As I was teaching the Hegelian dialectic in the last two shows, I didn't realize, because I haven't been looking into the Hegelian dialectic for a while, that it's not the Hegelian dialect, although I hear people saying that as well. It truly is the Hegelian dialectic. And I didn't realize it until I wrote it down on the videos, and I said, oh, I have to correct that. So if I'm wrong, and this happens, because that's who we are, we're just people. And I just wanted to correct that. Okay, I want to say that my mission is to bring the tribes together and also to equip them with the armor necessary to fight the battle as soldiers of Yahweh. That is also the mission here of all the people, the team here at Eurofolk Radio. We care about the tribes. We love you people. And we want you to be equipped with the armor that is necessary to fight the battle as soldiers of Yahweh. Now, the first thing I had done to help equip the tribes was in show number two, we learned how to have a successful prayer life, which is extremely important. I mean, works are important too, but you know, people will jump on you. You know, you try to teach them about having a successful prayer life, and you know, they don't realize, well, this Yahweh is putting these things out in sequence. You know, he just gave me these next 2 weeks shows, and he actually the first four of them just it was amazing how it happened. That's all I can tell you. And so he's kind of, you know, laying them out for you in a sequence that makes a lot of sense if you really think about it. If you go through the shows from right from the beginning till this one here, you'll find out that this is necessary. All this is necessary. So, this week we will learn the keys to strong faith, which is our shield. You've all heard Ephesians 6. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Yahweh, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. Remember I said when we were to pray, we needed to obey Yahweh and obey his laws. And he becomes our righteousness. It's not really our righteousness, but by obeying, this will make you strong as a lion and will make you bold. Now, the truth, having your loins girt about with the truth, is something that everybody seems to be seeking these days, the truth. It just depends on what truth you're talking about. And as I told you last week, if you don't have the correct biblical perspective or scriptural perspective, you will not have the whole spectrum of the truth. So it goes on, and it says, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I will tell you right now that the fiery darts of the wicked is fear. and non-truth, of course, but fear. Because fear is the actual opposite of faith. Fear is the destroyer of faith. Okay, so, and it also says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of Yahweh. That sword is very important. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and by the sword of the spirit. The spirit is the holy, you know, the Holy Spirit, which is truth. And that is the word of Yahweh. So it says, pray always with all prayer, supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, this is Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. See, once you have the armor of God on, you will be like a lion. You will be a soldier, a completed soldier in Yahweh. And you will be able to be bold. If you are obeying the law, let me explain to you something about this. If the police come and they come at you for some reason, and you're a law-abiding citizen, and you're obeying all the laws, there is nothing to fear about the police, is there? You see my point, what that means? It means that when you are in obedience to Yahweh, fear just drops away. There is no need for fear. So, it's the same way with all things. You will be bold once you obey and you have obedience. And you know who you are in Yahweh, all these things will come in line, and that's how we will become completed soldiers and be equipped to do the battle necessary to win. So he finishes off here and he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The armor gives us boldness necessary to preach the kingdom of Yahweh. Those were my words, not Paul's. The armor gives us boldness necessary to preach the kingdom of Yahweh. Remember, the Judeo-Christians are not preaching the kingdom of Yahweh. They are preaching the prosperity gospels. They are preaching the salvation message, but not in the proper manner. You see, the salvation message is not only salvation for the individual, but the salvation message is for the nation as well. National repentance, not only for the individual, but for national salvation. That's what the salvation applies to. And when we're talking about Israelites, we know that we will be restored. We will be redeemed. We have lost something, and it will be given back to us because we have lost it. The other families of the earth have not lost anything and will not be given back anything that they haven't lost. Only the Israelites and those of our kinsmen, which supposedly are the Gentiles, you know, it's an improper word, as we've shown before, and been everybody's heard it before. It's an improper term. But anyway, there will be people. Remember Cornelius? He wasn't an Israelite. But that's why Peter had received the vision he had received. It had nothing to do with making the foods clean. Yahweh was telling him that what I call clean, don't you call unclean. He wasn't speaking of the foods. He was speaking of Cornelius and people like Cornelius. And we will see that a little later here as a centurion. Okay? So, the armor gives us the boldness necessary to preach the kingdom of Yahweh. This is what was preached by Yahweh, Yeshua, Jesus, some call him. But I just do that for the, you know, the new people. But he told his disciples to preach the kingdom of Yahweh, the kingdom of God. He didn't tell them to go out and preach the salvation message. He didn't go out and tell them to preach the prosperity gospels. You see, there's a lot to all of this. I've read this book. I've read the book of Matthew many times, but this time through, and I only made it through the 24th chapter, this time was, whoa, all of a sudden, I can really see more than I've ever seen before. But first, let's define faith. Okay. Fear versus faith, the real struggle. I'll give you a couple of examples of how we have faith every day. You get up, you sit down in your chair. You have faith that that chair will hold you up, or you wouldn't sit down in it. Think about that for a moment. See, if fear was more important than that, you'd never sit down in the chair. If you were going by your feelings and fears, you wouldn't sit in the chair because you wouldn't believe that the chair would hold you up. But you believe, you've exercised faith that that chair would hold you up. Therefore, you sit in it. Another thing we could liken that to is driving your car. Now, you have faith that that car is going to stop when you hit the brakes, or else you'd never get in the car. You'd be a fool to, correct? So there's a couple of examples of how we have faith. This may not be godly faith. This is just general faith. Faith is belief. Faith is knowing. More, it's more belief than knowing, but it's also knowing. Okay, let's look at, as I teach you about the parasite, you have to notice that the parasite is always involved in the opposite of faith. When you look at Hollywood and Hollywood movies, they teach you how to react in a situation. Well, you know, they're always scaring you with something, and they teach you how to react to your when you come into a fearful situation. And what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to jump around and scream like a moron and be full of fear, and usually you'll get killed or whatever happens in the movie, because that's the way it works with fear. Now, for instance, if you were standing there and a dangerous animal came up to you, if you were to stand there fully confident, without fear, the chances of that animal attacking you would be reduced significantly. I'm not saying it couldn't attack you, but the chances are it wouldn't. However, if you show that animal fear, and this goes for human beings, beasts of the field, so to speak, if you show them fear, you're cooked. That's it. Now, do you see why Hollywood teaches you how to react to fear? And to fearful situations and how to react. There's more to Hollywood than you realize that it's teaching you. The television is teaching you. Whatever the media of this, the Jew parasite is, they've been teaching us how to react to all kinds of things. The devil and his literal children, the Jews, use fear as a weapon against us. All the time. And there's several reasons why. Did you notice that the news is always full of fear-mongering. Every day there's a new crisis. Three new crises. It just gets ridiculous. And it's all to evoke your emotion, because I believe that the demons can actually suck that energy from you. And I know that sounds strange. It's another kind of parasitism. It's vampirism, but it's energy vampirism. All these things that are being taught to you right now are worth thinking about and worth understanding, because this is the key to what's going on around you all the time. You see, the world trains us to be in touch with our feelings, to be overly concerned about how we feel. It teaches us to think that our feelings are very, very important. But your feelings aren't that important. Your feelings are what gets you into trouble. Your feelings destroy your faith, because fear is a feeling, and faith is not a feeling. Faith is belief and knowing. Belief. Fear is a feeling. Fear causes chaos and feelings that our enemy can use to take advantage of us. Okay, look at it this way. And the armies use this thing, and it blows people's minds. It's a technique, and I forget the name of what the technique is. But how should I react when a gunman approaches me? What did Hollywood teach me how we should react? Well, you should be very fearful, number one. And you should start screaming, please, please don't kill me, please. And what usually happens when that happens? You showed the animal, the two-legged animal, fear. Therefore, it knows it has you by the you-know-what. So, basically, you're probably going to get killed. Now, the gunman expects that you to act like Hollywood trained you to act. And when you don't, if you said, no, I'm not going to act fearful at all. I know who Yahweh is. I know who I am. I still could get killed. However, I am not going to bow down to that. I'm going to stand here and stand my ground. Now, when a gunman sees that, he says, what is this guy, crazy? This could cause a gunman to freak out, because this is not the expectation that he expected. This is not the outcome he expected. Hollywood doesn't teach you to be bold like that. It teaches you to be a coward and be fearful. So they would do this with a village, where they'd come in and they knew the enemy was going. I forget how to explain this, actually, but I'll try anyway. They would come in and they would act the opposite of what the enemy expected them to act like. And it would give them a huge advantage over the enemy, because it blows people's minds when you don't act like that. It does something to the mind. You expect it to come out one way, and it doesn't come out that way. Therefore, now what should I do? Now you're the one that's what's going to happen now? What should I do? You don't know what to do, right? This is how it works. Now, in a movie called Monsters, Inc., this is a children's movie, a secret is revealed. Now, these monsters, one of them was a one-eyed monster, and these are demons, actually, these monsters. And what they would do is they would scare the children. And when they scared the children, they would use those feelings of fear that the children had to power their universe or their operation. Now that's got to tell you something. Think about that for a minute. The monsters scared the children, and they used those feelings to power their universe or operation. This is what I'm saying about the demons or the devil, who lives on the earth and has been living. He is in a physical body today, and his literal offspring, the Jews. So, in women, who are known as the weaker sex, let's clarify something. See, women, you don't have to get all upset about this, because this is not something you need to be upset about. If you're upset about it, you take that up with Yahweh and get upset with him and see how far you get. Women are not the weaker sex in intelligence necessarily, but in body, physically. And women are more prone to be maneuvered and deceived because they put a greater importance on their feelings. This is what happened in the garden. This is what happened to Queen Victoria and many, many women throughout all of history. This is why they want women to vote and be involved in their politics, because they can sway them any way they want, because women are very susceptible to their feelings. Feelings must be kept in check, whether it's the man Israelite or the woman Israelite. Feelings must be kept in check. So if the animal comes up to you, you must hold your feelings and say, "Hey, wait, I'm not going to fear. I refuse to." And this takes practice. See, this doesn't happen overnight. Yahweh gives you boldness to be able to do these things. And that's what faith is all about. Faith that Yahweh will take care of you. Remember, fear is a feeling, and faith is knowing or believing. It's not a feeling at all. So why do they give us all this fear? This is going to reveal to you why they want us to have all this fear. This fear is very important, and it's used all day long, all night long. Okay, I'm going to explain this to you, and it's very simple. They want to keep us in the survival state of mind, which is known as the reptilian state of mind. That's the I believe that's the left side. The right side is your creative. The reptilian side of your brain is the where you survival is important. It's where we go by logic and things like that. So they want to keep you in that survival state of mind. You see, I'll show you how they do that. The banks are going to fail tomorrow. There's an earthquake over here. This country's going down. Fear, crises. Oh no, this, oh no, that. So that all you can think about is, will we live tomorrow? What will we do? Will we live tomorrow? And you're in fear, you see. You're caught up with the fear of, am I going to survive? Which Yahweh teaches us the exact opposite. Notice always that when you see these people who claim to be the chosen people of God, they're always teaching you the opposite of what Yahweh wishes. Now, if you can't see that, I just can't believe you can't see that. The Jews teach everything Yahweh hates. The Jews undo everything Yahweh does. You see, back in Nimrod's time, they built that Tower of Babel. And confused the people's languages and sent them where he wanted them to be. Period. He doesn't want all those people mixed up in your country. He doesn't want them mixed up in any country. He wants them where he put them. But the Jew, who are God's chosen people, bunch of crap. I mean, this is just so obvious that they are not God's chosen people. I mean, I just can't believe that people could even sit there and think that they are. But yet I probably did at one point too. So, I mean, I guess I have to have mercy on these people. It's only by the grace and the mercies of Yahweh that I know what I know now. It's not because I'm so intelligent or whatever it might be. I'm not that intelligent. I don't know everything. I could learn from a 4-year-old child. Really, I could. See, that's one of the things about learning. You have to remain teachable. You should never be at the point where you're incorrigible. I really do mean it when I say I could learn something from a 4-year-old child. They could teach me something that I never knew. And I really believe that. And that's a good way to be. That is being humble. You know, my younger brother could teach me something. A lot of the people that are the older brothers in identity think, I know everything. I've been doing this for so many years. And they can't be taught anything by the younger brothers. They know it all. It's because they're incorrigible, unteachable. That's not the way to be if you want to learn and if you want to be successful as a soldier of Yahweh. So what I was telling you, let's just finish this up. So they want to keep you in the survival / reptilian state of mind so that you'll be caught up with the fear of surviving. That way there you can never go into the higher state of mind, which is the spiritual state of mind. See, because you're too busy thinking on the things, you're worrying about the things that you'll see later here that Yahweh tells you, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about it. So this is something that's going to, you know, you've read Matthew's, the book of Matthew many times, and you'll see this time differently. You're going to learn something today, and you're going to learn about faith, and you're going to learn that fear is your enemy. Stop listening to the Jew. Let the Jew be in fear of tomorrow. He's the one that's screwed. Sorry to use the lewd word, but they're the ones that are screwed. They're the ones that should worry about tomorrow. They're the ones that are going to have the Holocaust that they have faked. Cried wolf. Yahweh's going to give them a real Holocaust when he returns. And praise Yahweh for that. We cannot wait for the day of deliverance. Praise and honor and glory to you, Yahweh, for you are the Most High. Don't you let the Jew tell you to worry about tomorrow. If you die, you die. That's all. As I teach these words today, my life is on the line. If I die, I die. That's all. Many a soldier of Christ have died. And many more will die. Fear rather Yahweh. Now there is the only place that you should fear, is fear Yahweh, because he's the one that can really destroy you. Fear him, but don't fear what's coming today or what may come tomorrow or what the news from below tells you every day, which I don't watch anyway, but you may. I call it the news from below because it's right from hell. Okay, so Yeshua says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve Yahweh and mammon, which is money. Therefore I say unto you, Now listen to his words now. You may have not realized what he's saying to you here. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And you know that's true. You know how beautiful flowers are. God, Yahweh is absolutely the top creator that could ever be. It's when I see the species of birds and the flowers and all the things that he creates, it's absolutely stunning, stunning. And so he continues, and yet I say unto you, okay, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if Yahweh so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Do you see what he just said there? See, you don't think about that. I never thought about what he's saying and why he's saying, O ye of little faith. See, when you're worrying about what's clothes you're going to wear, and if you're going to be fed, and if you're going to have drink, you're living in fear. You're not living in faith. See, isn't that amazing what he's telling you here? Now, I know people that will say, well, oh, yeah, I knew all that. I knew all. But, I mean, I didn't really know all that in this look of it, this angle. So it's, O ye of little faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the nations seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, have faith. Obey. When you obey Yahweh, all these things will come natural to you. You'll be bold. You won't have to worry. I don't fear. Very rarely. I used to have fear, but the more you come in line with Yahweh, and he's doing it because I couldn't do it of myself, but you still have to want to do it. You see, that's one of the keys. You can't pretend you want to come in line with Yahweh. He knows whether you're pretending or not. You have to sincerely want it. And maybe you couldn't do some of it yourself. He'll take care of it. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Okay, so that's lesson number one about faith and about fear from Yeshua, Yahweh, in the flesh. Let's go on to another example from the same book of Matthew. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Yeshua, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Do you see what this guy just said to him? See, he didn't say, geez, I don't know if you can do this or not, but do you think you can? Never mind. I'm too full of fear. I can't believe what you know, that you would. If it was that way, he wouldn't have been cleansed. And Yeshua, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus, or Yeshua, said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded. See, the law wasn't done away with. You see there? Again, people that keep trying to tell you the law was done away with. Or a testimony unto them. That's the end of it. And when Yeshua was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. Here we are now. Here's your example of the unclean, because he was not an Israelite, yet he was one of our kinsmen. He was a white man, okay? And when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Yeshua, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. So he was willing to go over there and take care of it. Because he probably thought the centurion, needed, he was used to the Israelites who can't believe. The centurion answered and said, Yeshua, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. See the word, how he created the world, the word, truth, spirit, the sword, and my servant shall be healed. He knew that if Yeshua would just speak the word, he believed that. He didn't question it. He didn't say, let me see a sign. I want to see a sign that you could do this, and then I'll believe it. So he continues on, and he said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Yeshua heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You see, they're our kinsmen. They're not Israelites. They're the ones who are being grafted in. It's not that the Jews are the chosen people and us Gentiles are being grafted in. It's that the Israelites are Israel, and that some of our kinsmen who were formerly unclean compared to the Israelites, they will. See? And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But listen to this now. Listen to this now. But the children of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, there are those Israelites that have no belief, and they will not sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven because of their unbelief, because they chose to live in fear. And so since they chose to live in fear, they will be cast out into outer darkness, which causes fear, does it not? And the weeping of gnashing and gnashing of teeth, which is fear, is it not? So since they wouldn't have faith and live in the faith of the kingdom of heaven, they will now have the very fear that they loved instead of the faith. I know I'm getting heavy on you here, but I'm trying to make a real point here. And, you know, this is just the way it is. You know, I mean, we can laugh about it, but it isn't funny when you think that some of the children, some of the Israelites aren't going to make it into the kingdom. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, see, believed, you had faith, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. I guess she arose and then served them some drinks and some food to eat. One minute she's on the bed, almost dead. Next minute she's right up serving them, ministering unto them. When the evening had come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus, Yeshua, saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Ah, here we come now. You knew the Jew couldn't stay out of this for long. Ah, jeez. All right, here's what you're going to get now. The Jew's coming. Ah, jeez. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Yeah, sure. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You see, he was living by faith. You see what I mean? He wasn't caring for them. He didn't have a hotel to stay in. He didn't have a closet full of clothes. He didn't have a change purse full of money, necessarily. Well, specifically, he didn't, because, you know, Judas, the Jew, the Edomite, had control of the money. You know, even with Yeshua, this is the living God, and the Jews still got control of the money. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Okay, so, and another of his disciples said unto him, Yeshua, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into the ship, now pay attention closely here, here's the next lesson in faith. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, a storm. The 10 o'clock news. Oh, there's a big storm brewing out in the thing. We're all going to die. Oh, no. Oh, no. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Yeshua was asleep. He had pure faith. He knew no problem. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Yeshua, save us. We perish. We've been watching the Jews' news, and they told us we're going to die. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Here they are in a ship with the ever-living God in the flesh. And they're fearful. Now, I can't say that I wouldn't have done the same. You may have done the same. Who knows? But we can certainly see that they made a mistake. Why are you fearful? Why are you letting your feelings take a hold of you? Why aren't you controlling yourself and believing that you're sitting in this boat with the living God who made the sea? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" I guess that's why they were fearful. They must have not had the understanding. They believed he was the Messiah. They were his sheep and knew his voice, but they still had a problem, as many men do today, in believing. Why are they questioning this? But the men marveled, saying, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him?" Well, the answer is he's not really a man at all. It's Yahweh in the flesh. It's the living word of God inside a flesh body. Yahweh in the flesh. See the difference between faith and fear? See that fear was winning over faith. And this is what he was teaching them. See, these are all lessons for them, to teach them. He was teaching them about faith. And later they could reflect on these things, and we can reflect on these things, and understand the picture much better and much clearer. While he spake these things unto him, behold, this is now another part, this is next lesson. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler who worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." There's your belief. He's believing again. There's no fear. He must have not watched the Jews' news that day. Right? And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now this guy said exactly what Jesus was going to do with the centurion. He said, I'll come over to your house and lay hands upon her. The centurion had even more faith than this man, and this man is a ruler. And he said, "Come over my house and lay your hand upon him." He didn't say, "Well, just speak the word." You see, the other guy had even greater faith. He didn't have to have Yeshua present at his house to make it happen. He just believed all he had to do was just speak the word and it would happen. So there's two levels of faith there for you. See how this is so deeper. This teaching is so much deeper than I've ever heard before because I never understood it in this way. And this is glory to Yahweh. And Yeshua arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." But Yeshua turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Believing hath made thee whole. Not fearing. Believing. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Yeshua came to the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. See, they had no faith. Yeah, right. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad unto all that land. And then Yeshua departed thence. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he, this is your next lesson, and when he was come to the house, into the house, the blind men came to him. And Yeshua saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Do you believe I can do this? They said unto him, "Yea." See, they didn't give him a big explanation. Let your communication be yea or nay. Yea, we believe it. Yeshua. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. In other words, because you believed, ye shall have it. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus, Yeshua, straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They didn't obey, huh? But whatever. As they went out, behold, they brought him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it has never been so in Israel. So there it is, the believing again. Not fearing, but believing. Not fearing. Fearing will get you in trouble. Fearing will not get you your desired prayer. Fearing, but believing will get you your desired prayer. Believing will cause you to do the things that Yeshua does. You know, one thing I will mention to you is that he physically opened the eyes of the blind and opened the ears of the deaf and opened the mouths of the dumb. And it's not that we won't do those things, but see, right now, what we are doing is we are, as we teach people, and as faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of Yahweh, the eyes will open. The eyes, see, these people aren't blind physically. They're blind spiritually. And that's why we will do the things that he did. Some of us will open the spiritually blind's eyes. Some of us will open the spiritually deaf's ears. They will now hear and understand. And then once they see and hear and understand, their mouths will not be dumb anymore. They will begin to speak the truth. You see? Think about that for a little while. Because there's more than one way to open the eyes of the blind, etc. So let's go to the next lesson. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Now he's getting the disciples ready to go out on their way. He's shown them all he's shown them. He's taught them about faith, lessons of faith. He's going to teach them another lesson. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, the nations, the kinsmen, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but rather, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, it's the kingdom first here. Those that are to be grafted in, which were our kinsmen who are not Israelites, that maybe like the Greeks and the Romans, they were white people, Adamites, but they weren't Israelites. You don't go to them first. You go to the house, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, no, that can't be right. Wait a minute. The Jew television tells me, as ye go, preach, saying, you'll be profitable if I pray over your wallet. You will prosper if I pray over your wallet and your finances. I want you to have a BMW because I want you to know about caring about the things of the world, see? No, that's not what he told them. That's not what he told them. He said, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. You know, see, the sick are those, not only are we talking physical, but we're talking spiritual too. Heal the sick. Who are the sick? The Judeo-Christians are sick. They've been taught a filthy, rotten, murderous gospel of Judaism. The Jewish religion, like I told you about last week from Cornwallis, who warned Washington about this. They're being taught the Jews' religion. They're sick. They're full of leprosy. They're dead. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the devils, cast out the Jews, yeah, and their doctrines of Judaism. Freely ye have received, freely give. Now listen what he's telling them right here. He didn't buy them a new Mercedes-Benz or a bus and say, hey, we're going to put you on tour here. This is, you know, this, to me, this is scary. Because I don't, you know, this takes a lot of faith. He's really putting their lives right on the line. Yet he knows he's going to take care of them anyway. It's just that they probably say, ooh, you know, am I going to be okay? Am I going to, you know? But here's what he's telling them to do. See, this isn't something I never really realized. He was teaching them how to have faith. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. In other words, you're not going to bring any money with you. Well, how are we going to eat tomorrow? Nor scrip for the journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, and salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, which means truly, I told you, truly, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and in the nations. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. See, they would be in fear. Well, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? He'll give you the words. Don't worry about it. For it shall be given to you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. In other words, there is time when you would flee. There is time to know when you should run. That's part of being wise. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor is the servant above his Lord. Ah, Lord, I hate that word. Sorry about that. Okay. It is enough for the disciple that he be his master, and the servant as his, I don't know, land, whatever you want to call him. And if they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, which they called Yeshua, how much more shall they call them of his household Beelzebub, so to speak? Fear them not, therefore. See? Fear them not. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that ye speak in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell, which is Yahweh. That's the beginning of wisdom, fearing Yahweh. Fear him. Don't fear them. Fear him. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your heavenly Father knowing it. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. You see, many people know about who Yahweh is. They might not know his name, so to speak, but they know who, let's say, Jesus is. But they come into these, peer pressure, and they say, well, I'm not going to tell them I believe in God because, you know, they don't all believe in God, and I want to be just like them. I'm an idiot. I follow everything. I'm a follower, not a leader. And so they're ashamed of Yahweh because of fear, because of fear, because of fear. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth, like the UN has. I mean, the UN has brought us lots of peace. You know, anything the Jew is involved in, of course, brings, you know, it's exactly what they say it will be. The UN is Jew-run, communist organization. It has promised us peace. But yet we've had, 100 wars since then? 90, I forget the amount of wars, whatever. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance with his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Oh, he's doing what the Jews do. He's dividing everybody. No, this is just what he's doing will naturally happen because you're always going to have people within the tribes of Israel that are not going to believe. That's what he told you earlier, that some of those will be cast out into outer darkness. And there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if a man's foes shall be of his own household, he that loveth father or mother, I don't like that word father, we talked about that before. He that loveth dad or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Notice how there's people that worship their children. But yet they don't really care about Yahweh. Notice how the soldiers are so set on obeying the country and obeying the Jew who runs the country. But their loyalty is not to Yahweh God first. If it was, they wouldn't be doing the things they're told to do. They would say, I will rather obey Yahweh than obey man. Soldiers of the world, police of the world, you better get your priorities straightened out now. Because if you continue to obey the Jew, in the pretense that you're pretending to, you're saying you're doing this, the police are saying they're doing this to protect us. I'm not against police, I just want you to know something. You're saying you're there to protect us. The soldier is saying he's there to protect us. You're not doing that. You're leaving us wide open. And then you will be wide open. I'm going to get into this sometime, but I'll tell you very briefly what's in store for you, soldier. And you, policeman, you better study on the Bolshevik Revolution and see how this enemy operates. Because if you think that once you help bring this enemy into full power, that you're going to rule with this thing. You've got another thing coming. You're not going to rule with the Jew. That's not the way it works. You don't understand. When you make a deal with the devil or his children, the deal sounds good, but I guarantee you that the deal is no good and you will not receive what you think you will. See, you help them. You are helping them to bring them into power. And once they are into the complete power, you'll be the first one to be killed. And that's the way it was in the Bolshevik Revolution. You better start to understand. I understand that they're the ones who are buttering your bread. But you better understand that man cannot live by bread alone, but by the word of the living God. Do you dig what I'm telling you? And if you think that's a joke, you're going to be in for a serious surprise. You underestimate the hatred of this enemy. You underestimate the cruelty, the abject. It's disgusting. I've never seen anything like it. You better watch Hellstorm like I told you. Then you'll understand. This is the filth that you're serving. You better put Yahweh, the living God, the Most High, as your first priority as a soldier. Not your country, which is under slavery right now to the Jew and to the devil. You better start to, better dead than red, guaranteed. Because you will not be in power with them. I promise you that. Because you know why? You helped bring them into power. Then what that means is you can also help somebody else to come into power. So you've got to go. You've got to die, Shabbos Goy. You know what a Shabbos Goy is? It's a white race traitor that will do what the Jew and the devil want them to do. You're a traitor against Yahweh, the ever-living God. You're a traitor against your country in reality. You're a traitor against your own people when you do those things. So you better rethink the whole thing out. And this goes for all soldiers and all police and all Judeo-Christians. Okay, let me go on here. He that findeth his life shall loseth it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Okay, I'm going to move on a little forward here. Here's the Jew coming into the picture now. I want you to see the difference now. This is what made Yahweh upset, and this happened several times. Then a certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees, these are the Jews, answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Adulterous, meaning that they it has a lot to do with race mixing. See, they are a race mixed people. And fornication and adultery has to do with race mixing. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Okay, understand right now, why did they ask him for a sign? Because they have no faith in him. They are the scientists. The scientists. Who want to see proof that you can do something. I don't want to believe that you can do something. I want proof. I have no faith in you. You understand why he gets mad about that? I understand it. For Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. They wanted to see a sign because they did not believe. A sign would be a proof that the eye could see, which would require no faith. Now you understand why these Jews keep asking him for a sign. Here we are again, another lesson. I'm going to try to go quick. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side when he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossing with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Yeshua went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were fearful. They were troubled. They were fearful again, saying, "It's a spirit." I watched the Jews' news. I watched that movie, Night of the Living Dead. It's a spirit. And they cried out for fear like the Jews' news and the Jews' movies teach them to do. Oh, no, woe is me. Help, help, it's a spirit. But straight away Yeshua spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him, saying, "Yeshua, if it be thou," he still kind of doubted there, "bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. He believed. He was believing. He was full of faith right now. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. He was fearful. He was fearful. You see, it destroyed his faith. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Yahweh, save me. Yeshua, save me." And immediately Yeshua stretched forth his hands and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You see? Now, this is always controversial. Let me try to hit this real quick. "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Yeshua, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent.'" Listen very carefully, Judeo-Christian. "But he answered and said, 'I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' I'm not sent into Africa so they can boil me in a pot. And 100 years later, they're no further than they were before. I'm not sent over to China. I'm not sent to Haiti. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which is not the Jews.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Yeshua, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Yeshua, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which shall fall from their master's table.'" Now listen here. "Then Yeshua answered her, saying unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." You see, he rewarded her faith. Though he didn't specifically set out to, he was moved by the fact that she had more faith than many of those that were in Israel. That doesn't mean she's going to be an Israelite. That doesn't mean she's going to be redeemed, because she didn't lose anything. This was all gain for her. So here we are again. The Pharisees also, that's the end of that story. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. Here we are again. The Jew never gives up. You notice how the Jew, he's been rebuked about this already, but yet he'll come and do it again. Because they don't give up. That's one thing that I have to say for these people. They get kicked out of a country. They come back again in due time. And if they get kicked out again, they come back in due time. They keep following the Israelites everywhere we go. They won't leave us alone. We don't want any part of them to be part of us. And we don't want, and we're forbidden to have them with us. Yet they're always with us. And they're always in charge of the government. You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees are the government of Israel. They got themselves into those positions. They're the ones that killed Yeshua. Not the Israelites. Even though some Israelites were tempted along with it and found out later in the book of Acts, you'll see that they repented of that. That the Jews had tricked them. So after they asked for the sign, he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it shall be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but cannot ye discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulteress, again, adulteress, which means race mixing, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, again. And he left them and departed. Didn't even waste any more time with them, because, you know, you don't waste time with Jews. All they are is a waste of time. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus, Yeshua, said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Beware. And they reasoned amongst themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? See, they're always thinking of the physical thing, you know, which we all have problems doing, you know. Which, when Yeshua perceived this, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, here we are again. Why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? In other words, they were concerned about whether they'd have bread for tonight and tomorrow. Here we are again. He's teaching them faith. He's teaching them faith. He's teaching them faith. This is hard, too. I'm not saying this is easy. Believe me. I'm not saying I would never be concerned about the things of tomorrow. I am a man as well. However, you see that he's teaching them something. See, you never really thought of that before, that he was teaching them how to have faith. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Okay, I've got very little time, but I'm gonna shoot off some important scriptures about fear. Okay? There is no fear in love, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Proverbs 3:25, be not afraid of sudden fear, like the movies teach you to be, right? Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in Yahweh shall be safe. Safe. In other words, those who believe in Yahweh and trust him, they'll be safe. The fear brings a snare to you. It causes you It causes your downfall. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. See, that goes for the New Testament as well. See, he didn't say fear God and that's the whole duty of man. He said fear God and keep his commandments. Obedience, obedience, obedience. Obedience brings more faith. Obedience brings boldness. Obedience brings it to the point where Yahweh can answer our prayers. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Isaiah 29:23. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. Isaiah 43:5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Fear not, I am with thee, saith Yahweh. And that is it. I made it through it all. You must understand now you have a greater soldier of Yahweh, soldiers of Yahweh, all through the tribes. You must now have the shield of faith. And you have been given the lessons through me, but really Yeshua gave you the lessons because these are his words. See, I've read these things many times, but never understood it like that before. And if you have, well, great for you. But I never understood it to this level. I am amazed. I didn't know he taught the disciples to have faith. I didn't realize. I don't know why. See, Paul English said something that's important, and this is for your own good. You may have read the Bible once, and you may say, well, you know, I read that whole thing. I don't need to read it again. Well, that's not true. Because as you gain a new level of understanding, you will have a whole different outlook on it the next time you read it. And I'll give you an example. If you were to read the book of Genesis, just the garden story, and you read it 10 times in the next 2 months, you would learn something new every time you went through that. I guarantee it. It blows me away that I could read that again and again and again and again, and I learn more and more and more and more. And then when you get going in with the concordance, you really start to learn. But you see, just because you read the Bible once, or just because you saw something once, your level of understanding grows as you grow. Okay? So I'm going to head out right now, and you've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.